You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So we're speaking all things desires and sin, and the relationship between desire and sin are indeed significant topics in the Christian theology and ethics. Refers to the alienation, inclination to sin, particularly in the context of desires that are disordered or contrary to God's will. And we're joined again on the line by Pastor Joseph Farah, who's going to be helping us to unpack this. My Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and how are you?
I am good, Mfundisi. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this opportunity you've given us again, that we may be able to share once again from this important subject that will help us put things in perspective, even as we live in these last days. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen, Pastor. We're speaking about all things sin and desire, right? And then this word that I can't pronounce, I won't even try to pronounce it, Pastor. I'm just going to use the simpler one in terms of what is lust? Let's just go, because this other word I can't pronounce. What is lust, Pastor?
Okay, so lust, this is where now you are looking at having a sexual desires, you know, whereby you are, yesterday we were talking about issues of desire.
Yes.
And the negative use of desire you have agreed, and today lust is that word. And so this is where now you have this appetite to just think negatively of a, so that in your mind you are just thinking, okay, I can sleep with this person.
Okay.
And so this is the desire of the flesh.
So where do we see the first experience of disordered desires, Mfundis?
I think the examples are many. The desires, I mean, the examples are starting from the old to the new. The examples are quite plenty. You see, the problem is when the mind is idle, that most of us are employed or enslaved into these sinful desires. And so this is the challenge that we find. We can talk about examples of, you know, Absalom, who went to the extent of pretending to be sick.
Yeah.
So that his sister could go in and then, you know, that he can take advantage of the situation. So the motivation in all that arrangement is lust. There was nothing that Absalom was thinking about save the desire for lust. So this is just one example. But you know, I think, you know, it is important to understand that sinful desires always drag us into sinful actions.
Okay.
You know, and such desires are what are reported in Galatians chapter 5, where he explains that these are the desires of the flesh, and he lists them. There's this, there's that, there's that. So all these culminate into sinful desires.
So why do we struggle, Mfundiswami, with sin and these desires? And I think since we spoke about lust, you know, it's going to go somewhere there. Why then do we struggle with so much with the desire for sin? Because we know that lusting over this person or lusting over, you know, this thing is a sin. But still, we do it and we struggle with it. Why is that?
This is deeply seated. This is deeply seated. This is where you find Paul in Romans 7 would say, the good I want to do, I don't do it. And the bad that I don't want to do, it is what I find myself easily doing. So our flesh, it has this inclination, and this is where this word we are both running away from. Mm-hmm. This is where they come to play. You know, this is where they come to play, because it's like these desires are like, you know, so much embedded in us, to say it is easier for us to engage into these desires than to forego them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where now the Apostle Paul, when he realized, to say, this thing is too much, he says, who then will rescue me from this body of sin?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like to resist this lustful behavior, it is more difficult than to indulge in it. Mm. So it's like the body finds pleasure, you know?
Mm.
The body finds pleasure in it. And so it becomes so interesting, to a point where the Apostle Paul equates the body to burning.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if any man, it is better for a man to marry than to burn.
Mm.
So the sensation, Paul puts it to something like something that is boiling inside you, and you can only quench it after you have satisfied that age.
Mm.
That is. So this is where now we are looking at this thing, and I think the disciple some people wanted to trap Jesus, to say they were thinking of him to be somebody who never respected the law, and then they were thinking Moses said when you do this, when you commit adultery, this is what is supposed to happen. You are supposed to be stoned to death. What about you? Are you going to uphold the law of Moses?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus tells them to say, actually, the laws of Moses were better, because Moses ended on you just committing adultery. But the new law that I'm bringing is that if you just look at a woman lustfully, you have already committed adultery.
Mm. Is there a I'll just use the word pardon. Is there a way in which these sins are pardoned, Mfundisi? Is that where grace now comes into play? But while on that, how then do we not abuse this grace? Because some people, they're like, God is going to forgive me. You know, grace, his grace is sufficient. You know, and then they continue doing that. Is that where grace comes in, and can we really abuse it?
Probably before we get to grace,
I
would like to put this into perspective.
Okay.
Remember, is it Paul or James who says sin begins, before sin comes, there's first desire.
Yes.
You desire, and meaning at that time sin has not yet occurred. But then this desire, if it, remember yesterday we said this is a strong, strong, strong feeling.
Mm.
And this desire is not, you know, curbed early.
Mm.
It will give birth to sin. And then when sin has fully grown, it will lead to death.
Mm.
And this is where the legal experts look at crime in this way.
Mm-hmm.
They look at it in two ways. They look at the two ingredients that constitute a crime, and that is the mens rea and the actus rea.
Okay.
And when you are dealing with the mens rea, you are dealing with a guilty mind. So before an act is made, before an offense is committed, it first has to be incubated in the mind.
Mm.
So meaning even us as Christians, when we conceive a thought, either evil or not evil, it has an incubation period, in which once we begin to entertain that evil thought, it will now begin to grow, and it will begin to be appealing, to a point where now it will dictate that it moves from just a matter of thinking to action, because you act on something that you have not thought about.
Mm. Okay.
So this is where now, if you've been to the courts of law, they will say you need to to prove beyond the reasonable doubt.
Mm.
So that reasonable aspect deals with the mind.
Mm.
Was the mind involved? What was the intent of this person to perform this act?
Mm.
So once there is a correlation that the mind and the body or everything acted together, then the person is guilty as charged.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our situation.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at someone, okay, sometimes you can just say, okay, this lady is beautiful, you know, or this man is handsome, or things like that. But then at that point, there is no sin.
Mm.
But then when you begin to entertain the thought, you begin to think beyond what is required, you know, then you are incubating sin. Because from there, you will, you know, because of the heat of passion,
mm-hmm.
because of the boiling that is going to take place, you will do whatever is within your power, you know, to go out and satisfy the image that has been created in your mind. And this is where now these writers are all saying, hey, gentlemen, let's not do that. So this is now where the Apostle Paul says, instead of you to be burning with passion,
okay,
it is better you marry.
But
now the question is, does marriage solve the problem of burning? Does it solve the problem of lust?
Mm.
And the answer is no. Because somebody can still be married and still entertain filthy thoughts. Unfortunately, you know, so you see, from Jesus' point of view, the standard is so high.
Hmm.
The standard is so high, he says, if you just look lustfully, you know, if you look lustfully, and, you know, in my counseling work, I have interviewed people who have even said that they have slept with their partners, their legally wedded husbands or legally wedded wives. But while they are in the act, they are using the image of someone else.
Hey.
And yet these people are having their conjugal rights, appreciating the holy matrimony, but in sin.
Eish.
You know, in sin. And so this is how difficult and this is how deep-seated this concupiscence, this desire. So now Paul now exclaims and says, who will help me?
Mm.
Who will save? How will I survive this?
Mm.
Who will save me from this body of sin? So we need now to begin practicing. We need to restrain ourselves. Actually, this requires a discipline.
Okay.
And this is where the aspect of discipleship, you know, the reason why, you know, I used to wonder why footballers, before they get into the game, they need to warm up, they need to train for 6 hours a week, you know, just to come and play a 1 hour, 30 minutes game.
Mm.
Why do they go through all the stress of training every day, and maybe some players are only going to play 5 minutes in a game? The idea, it is to train the body to be resilient. It is to train the body to withstand a lot of temptation. When these chemicals are released in the mind, how much stamina, how much discipline, how much self-control does one have to sustain? So it is something that grace comes to play, but there should be a raw, a deliberate program on your part,
okay,
to your mind, to restrain yourself, because you need to train yourself in such a way that every woman must be looked at as your sister or your aunt or brother. And when you begin to have that respect for women, you will not look at them to be like every person. You should be able to entertain and incubate lustful thoughts towards towards those. For me, I think that is the proposal. Yes, the grace of God will cover, but the grace would interfere in the way you are applying your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that part is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. Because sinful desires, they easily take away self-control.
True.
And sinful desires must be resisted by, you know, thinking about things. I know, especially in the younger people, I don't know. Anyway, I have not yet grown to speak on behalf of the elderly.
Yeah.
But I think this problem is much on the younger people. You know, I am dealing, you know, where I'm working as chaplain. I am dealing with usually pupils starting from 12 years to about 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost the issues that I'm dealing with, you know, it's in a boarding school. Almost all the mattresses these guys have made holes on them. And they are coming like almost on a weekly basis. Say, Pastor, I tried, but it's not working.
What is making the worst, Pastor? As we do.
But these are young people. These are young people who are very active at church. You know, they're so godly. They love singing. You know, they're so dedicated to God's work. But even if they are so, you know, dedicated to God's work, they're struggling on this other, you know, private life where everybody is not able to see them.
Mm.
But the beauty is that they come to the pastor's office, Pastor, I'm struggling.
Eish.
What do I do?
Mm.
You know, so it's really a matter of saying, let's pray. It's a matter of deep counseling to say, what is it, you know, what is it that we can do to distract your mind?
Mm.
To say, you know, I can distract my mind. I can put up an extensive study program. But hey, I can't sleep until I indulge. Until I. So I think what is needed is to understand that sinful desires are actually the root of sin itself. Because sin will not manifest not until a desire has been, you know, given the platform to grow and mature and things like that.
Mfundisi, yes, I'm still on the mattress, but it's okay. We'll leave it for now. So how can we take responsibility for our desires that lead to sin, Mfundisi? Is it a matter of, I think also when you were speaking there about what the young, the children you're having, they're saying that, I think they have recognized what the problem is, you know, but some people, they still struggle with recognizing what the issue is, you know, and therefore they cannot take accountability. And once, if you don't realize what the problem is, therefore, then you will not be able to seek help, you know. So how then do we take that accountability?
Actually, what happened was when I came as chaplain, I noticed that the grades for the boys were poor. Then I decided to engage them, all the grades, to say, guys, what is the problem? Why are they better? You have the same teachers, same facilities, same everything. Then they started coming out, say, I know we have this problem. Then we said, okay, fine. Since you are saying the girls are wearing short skirts, we advised the schools to say, okay, girls no wearing below, above the knees. So you're going all, okay. Then we said, you will not even be studying together. When it's prep time, we are separating you guys. And you know what happened? Immediately we implemented the separation technique. The boys rioted. They say, why are you taking away our girls? You know, they almost bombed the school. These same school.
It seems you have stories for days.
How serious. That is, they made, you know, these guys learn chemistry, so they made chlorine bombs.
You know,
threw around the school. The police came to arrest the situation. But when you get to the root of it all, what was the problem? So the school has separated. But they identified the problem. And we wanted to help solve the problem. So what is important is most of the young people, they've got, you know, they have this sex object view of a woman, you know. they can be looking at a sister in a uniform, but in their mind
they are seeing something else.
Is stripped off. So once you recognize to say this is my weakness, it is important to stay away. You know, that is, I think the Bible puts it clear: flee. You know, flee from all these things. There is no other way out. You have to run. Avoid all appearance of evil. Anything that can easily beset your foot. That's what Paul says in Romans 12. You know, every weight that easily beset your foot, please do away with it. So that is part of responsibility. If you entertain these thoughts, the next thing that is going to happen is this thing. I think you need to take responsibility. You need to exercise the self-control, and you need to know to say, at the end of the day, my motivation, I know the passions are boiling, but I love God. And by the grace of God, I want that grace to send me away from the danger zone so that I can only be safe if God is helping me work on my mind. And this is where now you fight battles of resisting, these sinful desires.
Mpundis, I think you must come and share all these stories, one day like a fool.
There are plenty. And the last one.
Yeah.
The last, we caught a small boy, grade 8, with a binocular.
Okay.
With a binocular. You know, the setup where we are, the girls' dorm, you know, they have these, the wall fence, but it has those to my metal bars, so you can peep through and see what's happening. So around 16, 17, this is the time the girls move around with only bathing towels.
Okay.
So this grade stole his, the father is a soldier, so he stole his father's binoculars and it at school. And he was sitting about 50 meters away from where the girls are, and he started zooming and peeping through the girls' corridors.
How?
Now, this is a 12, 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
So when he was caught, they wanted to expel him. Then we said, that is why the pastor is here. Let's have a chat. Let's talk. You know, so these, I think the younger generation are more in deeper waters. Though the at the time of Paul, he just proposed to say, if you are burning, marry. But then to see a lot of married people also indulging in these activities. Remember, we are just looking at the desire. We are looking at the starting point. We are looking at lust. Meanwhile, sin has not yet happened. But the natural consequence when this has been harbored, it is that people are going to indulge. And then next thing, it's church boards after church boards and people being dropped from membership every time. And then we baptize more and again we release them again. It's terrible.
Mfundis, the prayer that you're going to make now is for the younger boys. And girls, because I now Boshem pastor, they do funny things as girls, you know, that, you know, may the Lord help them with those desires there, and they don't fall prey to those sinful acts.
Sure. Now shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that you gave us an opportunity to talk about real things that we rarely talk about. These problems are with us, but we don't want to talk about them. Probably we are too holy. We are too good to talk about them. But in our little closets, we are struggling day in and day out. And these are our realities. And before you, all these things remain open and bare. May your spirit that never fails, that grace that never fails, may it be on our minds and our shoulders, that these young people, both young and old, who are suffering from the oppression of passion, that we may have a special encounter with the Spirit, that he may help us flee from all these things that easily beset our feet. Dear Lord, young and old are struggling, and the only way out, it is you to save us from this body of sin. You created all hormones perfectly, and you wanted us to enjoy all these facilities at our disposal. But the temptation is always big to abuse the good things that you've given us. And so I pray that whoever and wherever our listeners are listening us from, we will be helped in a way that we may be able to find grace and live morally upright and pure. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us. It's Richard again tomorrow, same time, same place.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.